All right, hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have singer-songwriter Apropos. Welcome to the studio, AP.
Thank you, man. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Of course.
I'm excited.
Happy to have you here.
I've been looking forward to meeting you. Obviously, getting into the conversation, but just you know, from Jake and Jeff and Steph and everybody over at the studio, I've seen your clips and I've just seen you, you know, have some good conversation with people. So I'm excited to be here today, man.
Yeah,
let's
I appreciate
talk. Let's
that.
Get into it. Like I said, let's get deep, man. Let's talk.
Let's do it. Yeah, like you said, we've had some folks from FBT Studios over here and great conversation. All great guys.
Yeah.
Love Jake Bass.
That's right.
Everything you guys put together over there at the studio sounds like a lot of gold coming out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Including you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I follow your Instagram and you've got quite a voice.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yes.
Thank you, man. I like to say, you know, the most soulful voice in Detroit.
Yeah,
you know, I like to be I love soul, I love Motown, I just love that that down home good cooking voice, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean,
now have you always had the voice, like from the time you were a young boy? Like
I have, man. I've always loved the genre of soul. I grew up on it. You know, I always like have some jokes with my mom, you know, like on Saturday morning when they're like, doing chores and stuff like that. It was always either some smooth jazz or some good soul. So since I was a kid, I have just always tried to just emulate that black male strong lead voice, you know, when it comes to music. So
So
that's what I do.
Who inspired you? As a young kid,
as a young kid, man, my father, man, you know, rest his soul, he's gone now, but I, you know, had always heard the style of music that he loved, the gospel, the soul. My dad loved Marvin Gaye. My dad loved all the groups from the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Great taste in music.
So definitely my pops, man, and definitely my mother, of course. My mother has been a gospel singer since she was a little girl, just singing in church. So it's really homegrown. I would say it's really, really homegrown. And then when I started playing piano when I was around 7 or 8, I just started to really get the influence and inspiration from other soul, R&B, and gospel artists. So,
yeah.
But it really comes from down home, man.
The
homegrown stuff, man. My mom and my pops, for sure. And my grandfather. My grandfather was in a doo-wop group, you know, in the 40s and 50s, so...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yep.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did mom and dad get into performing, singing and performing?
Excuse me for my phone. I apologize. Yeah. So my mother grew up in church, like I said earlier. And then my father was an AME pastor. So he, you know, was all about the praise and worship and, you know, getting the sermon going and things like that. So, no professional, as far as like, you know, secular music, or having a career in music, nothing like that, but definitely just, man, dudes, we all grew up in church. That was just what to do. You know what
now,
I mean?
Did mom and dad kind of like recognize your talent early on and kind of, you know, guide you towards, you know, kind of fine tuning your voice?
I would say my mother, for sure. My mother was always the type of mom that, you know, we'd have company over the house or something like that. Oh, awesome. Play Beethoven's Fifth or play Mozart. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, my mom always definitely recognized it as far as, you know, playing an instrument, for sure. But I really think there came a time when it was like maybe 10 or 11 when I really like blew my family away as far as like my actual voice.
Yeah.
Because remember, I started playing piano.
Right.
And I started playing drums when I was young. So,
yeah. So you're multi-talented. You get into any other instruments as well?
So just percussion. I started playing percussion when I was in my sixth grade, which was obviously after piano. But I remember seeing like some old like classic rock you know, John Bonham and things like that when I was like really young. So I was like, you know, I you know, piano's cool, but I want to pick up, you know, I'll pick up the drums. So I picked that up around 13, and then I started playing in church from 14 until I was about 19.
Wow.
So percussion, I picked that up and kind of made something with that as well, man. Playing in church is a whole different vibe.
Absolutely.
Whether it comes to singing, playing drums or playing piano, what have you, you know, worship is something that Worship can't really be secular, in my opinion. Worship is something that you strictly do for God for giving you that gift.
Yeah,
so if I was a harp player or something like that, playing harp would be so much different in church than it would be playing like with the DSO or something like that. You know, there's a different feeling you get. There's a different vibe you get. The chills come all over you. Your hair starts lifting
up. Filled with the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, you know. So that's. It's awesome. Awesome playing in church.
That's amazing. So mm-hmm. at what age did you kind of, you know, start fine-tuning your professional career?
So I wrote my first classical piece when I was 9. And I remember that's like a memory that like sticks like right in my head because it was like kind of a recital.
Yeah.
I had this awesome teacher, Russian teacher. Her name was Miss Emma.
Wow.
And she was very, very strict as far as when it comes to keys and come to piano, synthesizer, organ, all that stuff. And I remember playing my piece in front of her colleagues and all other people. There were other parents and stuff like that. And I would say around nine or 10, I realized that, you know, I could really take this music thing, to the top.
Yeah.
And just keep going. And that's what really opened up the repertoire of different styles of playing piano. So like you got blues, you got jazz. I really stuck with that blues soul stuff, man. I remember learning the blues scale in C.
Yeah.
And, you know, to go from classical to that in the, you know, within a couple of years, like I said, I started when I was 7 and then around 9, I started like kind of fooling around and, you know, just finding my own way.
Yeah.
That really, really opened up the lane for my voice.
Well, that helps shape.
Yeah.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
Finding
yeah.
your own way. Uh-huh. Now, do you like collaborating with other artists?
I love collaborating with other artists. I feel that I really connect with people. Artists that are in their own lane.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing wrong with artists that want to stick with a certain, you know, lane or, oh, I want to sound like this person, sound like that person. But what I've learned is artists that are very unique, artists that really have their own sound, artists that really have their own look, I really get along with because I feel like I'm in the same lane. You know, I feel that, even my artist name, Apropos, that means that I am pertaining to, that means that I pertain to rock, I pertain to hip hop, I pertain to soul, I pertain to rap. That means that I am, a open book when it comes to music. I can hop in any genre and hop right out and hop into the other one. I encourage and I support and I just show love to any artist that's just trying to be different.
Well, that's fantastic because I think versatility is key in creativity. You know, you're creative and you'd like to be able to flow. And I think that that's an asset.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And an asset for anybody that wants to collaborate with a creative like yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you bring the talent to the table, but you open the door for them to be creative as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're kind of all in your own lane. It's not like everyone's in one lane. You all have your own unique lane.
Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yep. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, as you were getting into kind of like fine tuning your professional career, when did it make sense to kind of start getting representation? And how do you, you know, like for somebody that's listening, that's kind of finding their voice and kind of shaping their professional career at this point?
Yeah. After high school, when I was going to community college and when I was going to Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts, I really wanted to spread my wings. So I started a band, man. I shouldn't say I started a band. I looked for a band that I thought that I would, an asset to. And I looked at some classified ads. This was back in the day, you know, Craigslist, you know what I'm saying? You find a gig, stuff like that. And I came across this band that was looking for a singer called Soul Divide. I showed up at rehearsal, at the audition. And I just blew them away with my soulful voice. And this was a rock band. So what we did was we kind of merged the sound of classic rock with soul.
Wow.
Because these two brothers and the drummer were all about the classic rock sound. I'm talking like Led Zeppelin, The Who, the Beatles. And they saw something in me and they were like, hey, we can really like make this happen. So we started to gig. We started to record. We did a couple college tours, which were really fun. You know, welcome weekends, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Central, you know, Western State. We kind of grew a following, man. This was back in like 2011, 12, 13, 14, like those years. And, you know, we came out with an album called Tell the World. And I really, you know, when you say, you know, speaking to anybody out there who wants to have a career in music, find your lane with other people, yeah. I would say. Because if I just jumped into this apropos stuff without being in a band and, you know, playing a hole in the walls and, you know, sleeping on, you know, a couch in a frat house or something like that, things will be a lot different. I feel that I really learned a lot with this group of people. You really find yourself when you're playing with other people. And that lasted until about 2016. We kind of had some, you know, creative differences and we went our separate ways. And Apropos was born in 2017. Yep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what inspired the name?
Like I said earlier, I mean, I'm so many genres, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so many genres. I mean, I can do the R&B stuff.
I mean, it just made sense. The name made sense. I felt it. It resonated.
Yes. Yeah. It just made sense because I'm thinking of all these styles of music that I have like jumping around in my brain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, well, why don't we take all of those and just be relevant to all of them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you think, you know, that even Stevie Wonder, right? You know, looking back on when I was a little nappy headed boy, you know, that's like a little R&B, but if you had some soul, looking back on when I was a little nappy headed boy, you know,
yeah.
I feel that there's so many different genres that I can hit.
Yeah.
And, being apropos to them just made sense. So I was like, you know, I'm going to call myself Apropos.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, how'd you find your way to FBT Studios? Was that just...
Oh, man, Jake's going to love this. Yeah. It's a funny story. So, man, I went to school with his wife. We graduated in the same class.
Danielle.
Yes. Yeah. Man, I love their family, by the way. Let me just shout out, man. Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to the whole Bass family, man.
Yeah, they're great.
I think she had stayed up to date on, you know, some stuff I was doing. A lot of our high school friends, you just, you know, check in on each other, say, yeah. You know, see what each other are doing. And she noticed that I was doing music as well. And obviously Jake at this time was you know, he was about to take over, you know what I'm saying, the studio at FBT. His wife had mentioned to my business partner, Spencer Hayes, that, hey, like, you guys should come to the studio. Like, you know, my husband's doing some stuff. Like, I see, you know what I'm saying, AP's doing some stuff. Like, let's work. And I guess, like, on Instagram, sometimes, like, the message can get, like, in a, like, a separate area, you know what I mean, or general or primary or something. Okay, you know, yeah. Sometimes, like, it is, yeah. Get, like, stuffed under.
Yeah.
So, I guess Spencer, shout out to my boy. He saw it like a year later, a year or two later or something like that. And we tried to like bounce back and say, hey, like, let's link up and this and that. But I think Jake was busy with stuff. I was over in London.
Yeah.
I was in Blackpool. I was over in the UK with this label. So the timing just wasn't right until 2022.
Wow.
And we set up this awesome meeting. Jake and I, in our first session, we recorded Heartbreak, which was it's not technically our first single because we've released other stuff before then, but like that was the first complete song that me and Jake just totally annihilated, man. I mean, we got in that studio and we realized we're so much alike.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so you can just hear a melody and just go off?
It's good.
Like,
good synergy. Yeah. Synergy.
So that's how it came to be. And Jake offered me a really awesome non-exclusive deal where I can still do my stuff. you know, we've just been knocking them out ever since, man.
Amazing. Now, how does the business partner play into the music career?
So Spencer is now a part of my management team. Like Spencer Hayes, I've known him since I was probably like 14, 15, wow, since we were in high school.
So you trust this guy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is like my mom's like second son, like third son. Yeah. So right now, because I now have management through Jupiter Entertainment. Shout out to Toya Hankins and to Danny Love. Spencer is now a part of my management team, which has made things so, so awesome for both of us. You know, he's in on the creative design. He's in on the, you know, the social media aspect of everything, even creative directing, music videos, handles my social media, things like that. So we've come a long way from just being two guys that wanted to start a you know, solo project, and he's also responsible for helping me get my first deal, man. You know, Spencer helped me get my first record deal.
Is that what took you to the UK?
That's what took me to the UK. Amazing, yeah,
we gotta get into that. Yeah,
we'll get into that. Amazing. We'll get into that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. So that's a good guy to have on your side.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah. He's I love him like back. A brother. Yeah. I mean, Spencer, let's take this time to recognize.
Yeah.
I love Spencer Hayes. I mean, he's been by my side since the very, very beginning. A lot of people and a lot of artists out there know that. Like, a lot of people will say, like, oh, man, I was, you know, somebody will come up to you and say, oh, I was with you since the beginning. But it's just like, you know, I literally only have one person.
Yeah.
One person.
Yep.
That has been there since the beginning and through everything, through the storms, through the good, through the bad. It's Spencer Hayes, man. So I love you, bro.
That's amazing and very rare these days, yeah, it seems, you know, especially in the music business.
That's
and,
right.
You know, just you speaking to, you know, you're coming up with the gospel and your
yes.
parents and everything like that. And I know, you know, Whitney Houston had the same, oh, you know, I know you're a fan
man,
of
just
her.
Say her, bro.
Yeah. You're a fan of Whitney.
Hey, man,
and
that's, I think that's my favorite female. And I know some people might say you shouldn't break up the male and female, blah, blah, blah. But like, this is just my opinion. I can say this. Whitney Houston is the best female vocalist of all time.
I could agree. You know,
opinion.
She's pretty fantastic.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say that.
I saw the documentary when it initially came out. And, you know, I know she faced a ton of adversity coming up as an artist and just even with family, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, that's why I say, like, just to reference Spencer for you to have that trusting bond.
Oh, man.
You know, it's
no, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's so There's good. A lot of people who, you know, you can't call them any hour of the day, any time of the day. You know, that isn't family, right? You know what I'm saying? Because obviously, like, family's a whole different thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? You call your mom, call your dad, call your auntie, something like that. But, like, to have somebody who's not even, like, your blood that will be there for you all the time, that's what Spencer Hayes is to me.
That's amazing. And I think it's also amazing that, you know, you have a good balance of just the masculine, feminine, as far as, like, even recognizing her as a vocalist and inspiration.
That's
I think
right.
That's great.
That's
you
right.
You know, I think that's the way it should be. And, you know, that's a great talent to recognize another talent,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's giving props to where props is due.
Oh, yeah,
know?
Man.
I don't think you're
far
off by saying that she was, one, you know, the greatest
I
vocalist
so.
In the female
I think so.
Realm
yeah.
of things. She's pretty classic.
Yeah.
Very inspiring, and mm-hmm. I like that. I was very reminiscent of that documentary as you were referencing the way you came up in the church with the gospel and the soul and all that stuff, and same for her. As
that's
I
right.
learned that watching that documentary, pretty
mm-hmm.
fascinating, and you know, that's very inspiring too.
Yeah.
And like you said, I could only understand exactly how you described it because I watched that documentary. And it kind of laid
yeah,
out.
Wasn't
out.
It great?
Yeah,
I was,
it was
man,
fantastic.
It was great.
It was.
I think it was the same producer who did Amy's.
Wow.
I think the same director and producer. I think the same company. So yeah, they.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
So let's get into the UK, man.
Yeah.
You got that gig, and then you just hopped on a plane and
mm-hmm.
you know, just started your life out there under that record label.
Yeah, I Am Sound Records. Beverly Martell Records was the subsidiary. I just remember telling Spencer. So there was a band. They're no longer together, but there was a band that had reached out to me that wanted to do a feature, and they were signed to this label. So I did the feature, but I told Spencer, I said, hey, man, like, this is dope and everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're going to pay us, you know, a little feature, whatever. But it's like, bro, like, I think we're good enough to get signed. Like, I think we could, you know what I'm saying? Like, come out with an album deal or a record deal or a single deal or something like that. And I just remember Spencer asking, he's like, all right, well, just like, tell me the guy's email. And I don't know what happened, but Spencer like sent an email with like some of the demos that I was doing this time. Because what happened is, sorry to backtrack, but I quit my job. I was doing car sales from 2015 to 2017. After Soul Divide broke up, like I told you,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was doing that full time. I was just gigging. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, you know, being a car salesman in Plymouth, and I ended up quitting. I was just like, you know what? I want to get back into music. Like, I'm depressed. I'm like, you know, I don't know what to do every day. I'm waking up like crying. Like, you know,
music's your therapy too. Yeah, it's your soul.
So ended up quitting, and then me and Spencer just said straight up, okay, well, if you're going to do this, like, we need to get you in the studio. So I started working with my boy B-Way. I started working with my boy Chuck, and we came out with a couple singles. It was nothing that we, like, really released. Like, I think we, like, put some stuff on Facebook or YouTube or something like that. But Spencer was like, all right, screw it. I'm about to just send this guy these demos. And, man, lo and behold, like, this guy was like, hey, like, I really believe in this. I want to offer you a record contract, indie label, obviously.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No shade at that, but it's just like, it wasn't like Warner Brothers or you know what I'm saying? You know, Interscope or anything like that. But it gave me the opportunity to create with professional people like Dave Wilder, like a group called Aztecs, who produced She Makes Me, which turned out to be amazing. It was, you know, my first real like pop song.
Yeah.
So he emailed him, and man, I'm telling you, like a month and a half later, I had a plane ticket to London. Spencer met me out there, and I recorded for about a month. And then I came back, and then I went back out to Blackpool, which is it's like about 5 hours from London, where I met up with the producers and recorded the rest of the album. A couple months after that, they sent me to L.A. to work with Dave Wilder, who's a great friend of mine. Shout out to him. Shout out to his whole family. We wrote a couple songs as well. So the whole experience with I Am Sound, Beverly Martell Records, it was astonishing. It was great to be on a label, to be with to be represented by somebody who just saw you from across the pond and said, hey, you know what? I'm gonna give you a shot. And man, you know, we recorded a couple music videos, you know, the streams went up, you know, the gigs went up a little bit, and I'm forever thankful for that experience. It was awesome. And being in London was great, man.
Sounds like to me too, like you've been ready to go. So I meet a lot of artists. I meet a lot of artists that are just kind of like, if something happens, something happens,
right,
and they're not really gonna try for it. Or there's no plan in place.
Yeah.
It sounds like, but like, what if?
That's
like,
right.
What if you get that label, you get that call, like you gotta go across the pond?
That's right.
Like, are you ready to go? Sounds to me like you were prepared.
Oh, I was ready, man.
Because you can already see the vision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that it's interesting for me to get perspective from people on how serious they take their career or where they're at in their mindset mm-hmm. with it. Because if you have that passion, you got to be ready to go.
That's right.
Like, what happens if?
Yeah.
You know, it's time.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, real.
Now, man, with What's all up? That being said, you've had to face some adversity. I know that,
sure.
You know, just life in general is hard. And I know I've faced some dark times myself, but any stories of inspiration coming out on the other side, like throughout crafting your career and to where you are now?
Yeah. Doors being closed has been a really tough thing, you know, as far as my career is concerned. You know, Allie Willis was one of them, you know, just being so close to her, so quickly. We became such fast friends, and she became such a fast mentor, and, you know, telling me how to handle the music business, helping me, you know, make decisions, and helping me songwrite. And then for her to be gone so quickly, that really is something that I will, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Allie Willis, for those who don't know, just like my opinion on Whitney Houston, I believe that Allie Willis is one of the best songwriters to walk the face of this earth. And for me to be in her presence, for her to handpick me, for her to see me at a bar and handpick me and say, hey, I want to write with you. I want to create with you. You've got such a great voice. That meant something to me.
Yeah.
It really meant something to me. And for her being such a Detroit figure, I had always wanted to, you know, get someone's attention like hers, you know. And when I finally did, and we began to write, and we began to create, we began to laugh and joke and, you know, hoot and holler in the studio and hear all her awesome stories about Earth, Wind & Fire and all this amazing stuff she used to do. Man, when that was taken away, it put me kind of in a dark place, you know, because I was just like, well, you just don't know what can happen.
Yeah.
You know, one day you're on cloud nine, the next day you're at, you know, someone's funeral. So,
yeah.
I just kept the how I got through that and how I continue to get through that, is just like hearing Allie's voice. And even hearing Andre's voice, her collaborator, who I'm still good friends with and has amazing career as far as producing, songwriting, and, you know, collaborating. I just remember her to just tell me keep going and not worrying about what other people's opinions were.
Yeah.
Because, see, I used to not just ask Ellie about just, you know, what key is this song in or how do I sing this note and stuff. Like, I would ask her about just even just the emotional part of being an artist. Like, I used to tell her, like, there were some people in Detroit, I'd be like, Ellie, like, I don't think they like me. I don't think, like, they never invite me to do this show, or they never invite me to do this, or they don't want to work with me. Like, Ellie would be like, man, you know what, forget them.
Yeah.
Like, you have a special talent,
right?
They're intimidated by you. They don't want you to come to the studio because you are a light, because you're shining. And you know, and it's just like a lot of those conversations, you know, remembering those conversations and hearing those in my head really keep me going through the day, because, you know, I'm me, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a star. You know what I mean? I don't have to have a Grammy. I don't have to have, you know what I'm saying, an Academy Award or you know, a hit record on the radio. Like, I know that God has given me a gift to use, and I'm not going to take that for granted. I'm just going to keep pushing, and I'm going to keep using it. And Allie was one of those people that would say the same thing. And
well, I love the story that you're sharing, yeah, because she sounds like an amazing human.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's a beautiful blessing to actually have the mutual respect for each other that you guys, mm-hmm, had. I think there's no better feeling than feeling respect from someone that you respect so deeply.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, you know, there's, that goes in other directions also. Sometimes, you know, as you're coming up, you're, mm-hmm, gonna respect people that disrespect you. And like you said, there's probably just the story that you just shared right now, sharing with Allie that, yeah, you know, feeling excluded, or this person doesn't like me, and these are probably people that you had respect for at some point until, mm-hmm, you realize, you know, what the score is. And, you know, no one likes to see someone shine brighter than them sometimes.
Some people.
Certain arenas. Yeah. Not no one. I mean, like, in certain arenas, that's right, you know, you have, yeah, that. And I've been on that end of things,
right,
in certain scenarios. Yeah. And when you don't operate from that headspace, it's weird to be on the receiving end of that.
I like how you said that. That's true. Because you may not operate like them.
Yeah.
So then they're thinking of you in a different way.
Yeah.
You know?
And so you're just like, whoa, okay, now I have to have a different mindset, mm-hmm, towards this. And, like, at least you have the confidence, yeah, and it's clean confidence.
That's,
it's
right,
not arrogance, it's confidence.
Right.
And it's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing that that Ellie did mention to me, is that, like, sometimes you're going to walk into a studio and you're the type of person that may intimidate somebody.
Yeah.
They may think that you're trying to be a know-it-all and that you're trying to, it's like, no, it's not
they
that.
They think you think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And exactly, it's like, that's not what we're thinking at all, Mike.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, hey, I'm here to create. I'm here to learn. I'm here to, you know, get constructive criticism.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I know what I know, and that's just how it goes.
And you're willing to share.
Oh, absolutely.
I think as a creative too, like you said, you love getting out of your own lane to get into other people's lane and create.
Yes.
I mean, that's the creative process. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I think I love that. I love that story. Yep. And
yeah, man. Rest in peace, man. She's her music will live on forever, and it's actually cool. We have some records that that people still haven't heard. So
amazing.
I'm hoping that pretty soon
people
get to hear those.
Beautiful.
You know?
That's beautiful. Yep.
So it was me and Big Sean were the last artists that she collaborated with.
Wow.
So me, Andre Alexander, and Big Sean. Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I've experienced profound loss also. I mean, just this week I was at a funeral on Monday.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Like you said, I'm sorry for your loss also. And like you said, you know, you're riding high one day and then you're at a funeral the next.
That's so true.
I think just dignity and respect, offering dignity and respect to people in any space is key, you know.
It is.
Just celebrating others. And I think that you you know what a gem she was to have in your life, man. And what a blessing.
She was sweet.
I'm sure she's still with you.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Kind of guiding along and
yep.
And that's a good feeling to have. And I started to shift my mindset towards celebrating life versus grief and loss.
Sure.
You know, it's hard. You know,
yeah.
It's hard to manage that and navigate through that. But like getting it out of a dark place into the light is a journey in itself. So I commend you for sitting here today. I mean, you made it through that. Some people can't find their way out. You know?
I even think about the people who are so closer to her than me.
Right.
You know, it's got to be super harder for them.
Yeah.
Just like in a matter of 6 months, we became close. I mean, there's people who've known her for years that have to deal with her.
I've lost mentors that I didn't know for, a deep length of time. But I mean, just in a short time, someone makes an impact on your life and you feel like their soul tribe.
I know.
And you know, because even 6 months can be just a profound amount of time to spend with somebody. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
You know, it helps though. It's so awesome. It's like, and that's how I know it's just God. Cause I believe in God.
Yeah.
I believe in Christ. I believe that, you know what I'm saying? Like Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, but it's just like there's sometimes you just get that little gift of like I'll hear September out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, Allie,
yeah,
like what you did, you know what I'm saying? I'll be like super down. I remember one time I was in the airport crying, coming back from her funeral, and I was just at a bar in the airport, just like, you know, I already checked the bags and everything. I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna sit and have a couple drinks.
Yeah,
I remember tears started falling, and all of a sudden I just hear it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Like, you cannot make that shit up.
You can't make it up, bro. You
yes.
can't. So it's just,
I love that.
God is good, man. You know, you get these little blessings out of nowhere sometimes. And, you know, they make you smile. So I've had a lot of experiences with that just, you know, as a lot of people say, turn that frown upside down.
Yeah. Angels among us. But
right.
I had that experience just today. I got in my car and I had done a podcast yesterday with an intuitive, and we were talking a lot about grief and loss.
Sure.
And she had lost her mother. I've lost my brother. And we're tapping into those conversations. And I was talking about getting downloads through my phone, through my playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you think about like how you just said you heard September.
Yeah.
And immediately, it's like you can't make that
it's
up.
It's like what?
It's like that will happen to me just thinking about my brother or somebody else that I've lost. And boom, a download in the phone. It's like you start up the car and bam, that's on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
right?
they're with you.
Like,
right?
How did that happen?
Yeah, exactly. I love those stories. I get the goosebumps when I hear those.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that story.
Absolutely.
And, kind of navigating through, like back to the other topic of kind of getting into other people, kind of not feeling welcome, you know what I mean, in certain areas of the industry by certain people. What is something that you can offer to someone kind of, you know, in the same shoes, but doesn't quite know how to, that's not in the headspace that you are, you know, that might take it more personally. And that can be traumatic for people. I think like when you don't feel accepted by your peers and you don't have the confidence quite yet, you know what I mean? Like, that's just like, comparing yourself on social media, people fall down that rabbit hole and that can take a toll on you, mentally. You know?
I mean, my answer to that, it's pretty simple. Just be yourself as much as you can. And I know that sounds cliche. Like if I was on the View right now, just all be yourself.
Yeah.
But no, it really rings true, man. I mean, there's been so many times where I've you know, tried to just do what people want to do.
Yeah.
You know, being on The Voice was one of them. It's like they want you to do a lot of other stuff. They want you to have a story. They want you to, you know, walk through that door with a certain look on your face so they can get some B-roll. And it's just like, you know, you really, really just have to know yourself. I think you have to know yourself before you can be yourself, because if you're being yourself and you don't really know yourself, then what you really doing?
Right.
You know, so that's my best advice. Find yourself first, know who you are, and then be that. And it took me a while. It took me a while as a solo artist, man. I've been doing this since 2018. It's 2025 now, man. You know, I still got a long way to go, but I believe that I do know myself right now.
I love
so
that.
I'm continuing to be who I know. It's the best advice I can give is just do research on yourself. Examine yourself, you know. Like I said before, I believe in God. You know, I examine myself through the Lord all the time. You know, Lord, help me, you know, with my anger, help me with my anxiety, help me with my fear, help me with the stress, you know, examine yourself and everything that you are, and then, try to be a better version of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I like your simplified answer, and sometimes it just is that simple.
It is.
And we're looking for deep things that, mm-hmm. you know, that are right in front of our face.
That's right.
Just be yourself. It is that simple. But I think, to your point, finding yourself helps simplify things.
Yeah, you got to.
So just kind of stay away. You know, I have gone through a period of time where I had to kind of just disconnect from people so I could find myself.
That's good.
Internally.
It's all right.
Spiritually, emotionally, all the things, you know. It's good. It's good to connect with yourself. And,
yeah.
Those are unique experiences. You've done some great things over your career. It's
yes.
Like the days are long. You said only since 2018, but I mean, really, the days are long and the years fly by.
That's right.
And I like, too, what you said about you have a long way to go, because mm-hmm. I get that. I feel that. I've said to myself at this stage in my life and my career and things that I've done and the direction I'm heading, you know, I've come so far, but I have so far to go.
Yeah.
You know?
I was going to say, too, yeah. Mike, I mean, just walking in here, I mean, just to those who can't really see, like, what's going on, but, I mean, this is a dope spot. You really have... I mean, you have your equipment together. You have your ambiance together. I mean, the energy is just great in here. I mean, I was welcomed by your staff.
You.
I mean, it's just, you know, you got it going on. And,
I appreciate that.
You know, I support this, you know, forever, man. Keep
I
it going.
Appreciate
Keep
that.
It going.
Yeah. Well,
this,
hey,
this
man,
is awesome.
I got to have you back more often.
Yeah.
We got to set up a little performance
that
in
would
here.
Be,
We've
that
got
would be
the
awesome.
Space to do that.
Yeah, that would
yeah.
be dope. Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Because I know you can just drop on the drop of a dime.
Oh, man.
You know,
yeah.
yeah.
Ooh,
well, just...
I bet you're wondering how I knew.
Yeah.
About your plans to make me blue with some other guy that you knew before. Yeah,
I love some just... Motown. That's good. I love it. Hey, what are some of your favorite experiences, like getting to perform? Like you said, you had opportunities to be on The Voice, other things, all these great, great opportunities. What's something that really like hits your heart? Because I'm sure there's so many.
Yeah,
but...
I really like performing with Jessica Caramore. I love the gigs that we do, the gigs that we have done. We've been around the country. One of my favorite ones was performing in New Jersey, Performing Arts Center in New Jersey. We got to perform with, like, man, Black Thought, Yasiin Bey, Nate Smith was on drums, Christian McBride was music director. That was probably one of my favorite shows, man.
Wow.
I mean, it was in front of like 3,500 people. Got to perform one of my songs called Simple, and she did some poetry over it. She's an amazing talent. Anyway, like she's great. But when you talk about memorable performances, that was probably the best. There was this one part at the end of the show after her and I finished what we were doing, our performance. We all came out. So they all gave us microphones and we all came out. And man, it was crazy. Black Thought was like rapping and, Arrested Development. Was performing. And,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and I got to like do some like ooh, you know what I'm saying? Just like a little background stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy, man. I'll probably
it's
say
like
that's
surreal in
yeah.
those moments, right?
I've done a lot of performances, but that one really sticks out to me, man, because it was just so I feel like the culture was just so present there.
Yeah.
It was just an amazing time. Oh, Nikki Giovanni was even there. Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. Wow, I forgot about that. God bless her. Yeah, that's probably one of my best. And then in London, I got to perform as well. Just at some local bars and pubs. Did some open mic stuff there, which was really cool. But that part, being, you know, from the United States,
right,
and being there for a short amount of time, it was just so awesome for people to be like, oh my God, oh bro, this guy's from, you know, this guy's from the United States.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can't do an accent like that.
No,
but
that was actually pretty good. Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you didn't have a hard time adjusting over there, did you? You just kind of went over there and like...
Oh, man, I had the best time of my life.
That's awesome.
Oh, I had the best time of my life.
Not homesick, definitely some, none of that stuff. No. Beautiful.
No.
Because you were ready. You were ready. Yeah. You already knew.
Yeah. I think I partied the hardest when I was in London.
Yeah? That's yeah. awesome.
I think I partied the hardest when I was overseas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time.
Have you ever had more of the? Because I used to be a good time. Back
yeah,
day,
right.
Yeah. And so, but I learned to kind of dial in and out when necessary.
Yeah.
Have you always been able to kind of have a, your head on your shoulders about that? Or I mean, for myself, I've gotten away from myself at points. Sure. You know, coming up from younger to life with more experience, I like to say, versus getting older, and I know that can be tough in the music industry, and there's lots of opportunities to go in other directions. Have you always found yourself?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there came a time in 2021 where I had to really like we were talking earlier, examining yourself. I had to examine myself, and there was a time where I didn't really know what moderation was, so I took a break about 7 months. Close to 8 months sober. And I never wanted to turn it into a thing where it's like, oh, I'm never drinking again. I'm never, you know, whatever.
I'm but right with
just
you.
Like, but yeah, like I just, you know, I went to some meetings. I was just like, hey, like I'm getting a little out of control.
Yep.
And, I just dialed back. And ever since then, this was like 2021. Ever since then, I haven't had an issue of me, you know, overstepping that boundary or not getting, you know, what I need to get done in life done.
Yeah.
You know, there were some things that were holding me back when it came to alcohol. So, but
I
now,
love
yeah.
that you recognize that. That's a great sense of self-awareness.
Oh man, it's part of my testimony, man. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't like out on the streets. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, doing some crazy drugs, nothing like that.
But I've lost so many people going in the other direction. And like, just to have that self-awareness makes my heart happy for you because
it can
get away from people.
Yeah.
And I've watched that happen. And those were the things just from sheer observation of my own life and lost loved ones that, that helped me kind of, get a hold of myself and like take that time, take those, you know, you took those 8 months. That's huge.
Yeah, man. And it really just comes down to, again, like it just comes down to finding out, do you have a problem with moderation or do you have a problem with just like this stuff has a power over you?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And my thing was just like, okay, like let's tone it down a bit. You know what I'm saying? Life ain't a party all the time.
Right.
But when it's time to party, you know, I'm your guy.
You know what I'm saying? I always like to say, I'm a good time.
You know what I'm saying?
But like, it'll be, I think I'm going on like closer to like 2 years since I've had a cocktail just unknowingly, like not even
good.
Trying.
Okay.
And so like, it's when the time is right for me. And so like when I'm good, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And when it's not, it's not. But I've been working so hard that sometimes it gets away from me and I, it's like, oh shoot, you know, maybe it is time to blow out the cobwebs and have a cocktail.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like when it's time, it's time. But I just, sometimes I'm not so hyper focused on it that I used to be when I was younger, you know what I mean?
Cause
it was like, you know, all throughout the week and that's what you do when you're young. That's what your friends are
that's
doing.
Right.
That's what the culture is. I worked in the mental health field for so long. It's like, that's what we did. We debriefed.
That's it.
We debriefed at the pub. You know what I mean? So, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And, but like I said, if you, you know, keep your focus and your self-awareness, then you can continue to have a good time without having to make a declaration
or not.
You know, for some people it's another story, and I support mm-hmm. everybody in any capacity that's doing whatever they need to for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's great. I love it. You've been such a pleasure having here.
Having a great time.
So what do you got coming up? Like, what, I know you've got music out there on all the platforms.
I mean, right now Jake and the whole team at FBT, along with my team at Jupiter Entertainment, we are putting together a soul album. We want to strictly stay to one genre this time.
Yeah.
Me and Jake can get a little carried away with ourselves, going to different genres in the studio, which is my favorite thing about Jake, because we can go anywhere. Being at FBT with Jake, being a creative like myself and how I write and how I create, going to FBT, linking up with Jake, just opens up this whole world. It just opens up a whole world. And I think that was part of Jake and I's destiny to meet a couple years ago and then get the first year out of, okay, we're going to do this genre, we're going to do this genre, we're going to do that. And I think now it's time to really get serious and we want to release a soul album. We want to release something that is that sounds like, you know, what Marvin Gaye or Stevie Wonder would sound like now.
Ooh.
If they just came out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, well, I love that, that's because what the world needs right now is a little more soul.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it, man. That's it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm also performing with the Dramatics now. LJ Reynolds and his team has picked me up as second tenor, which is, I mean, bro, I can't tell. Like, bro, I like cried. Like, I was like, it's just such a blessing to be a part of music that I grew up on and music that, like I was just saying about, you know, music from the 60s and 70s, you know, Marvin Gaye and, you know, the Temptations, things like that.
Well, the 60s, it's, the late 60s, early 70s, that's my favorite era right there.
You know, and to be, you know, in this group, I honestly, really just to be on stage with LJ Reynolds is crazy. Like, sometimes I watch the tapes, I'm like, man, I'm like right next to this guy, you know? So, so we have some shows. We have some summer shows. We'll be in Chicago next month, June 27th. And then we'll be playing African World Festival in Detroit, man. We're headlining the first night, the Dramatics.
That's
the Dramatics
huge.
Are coming back to Detroit to open up a festival.
That's huge. And so you're a part of it.
Yeah, man. And I'm super excited. I'm also just writing nonstop. I'm really involved with my church. So I've been writing a lot of gospel music. I'm helping lead worship, you know, at my church with the worship leaders and the musicians there. So I really wanna get into my gospel bag, you know, because like we said in the beginning of the conversation, that's the homegrown stuff, you know. So
it's your roots.
So getting back in the church, I joined this church in September. I really feel like now, like God is like calling me to get into some worship music, some gospel music, to create some of that. So I'm just staying obedient and still writing stuff like that. And hopefully that stuff comes about too, Mike. You know? So we'll see.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to everything you've got going on. You know, I don't think that there was a point during this podcast that I didn't have goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was feeling the chills the whole time. Yeah, you're pretty inspiring. Mm-hmm. You got a lot cooking. I'm excited for you.
And the stuff with me and Jake, man, it just gets better every day.
Yeah.
I'll show you some stuff after we get done. I mean, we just wrote a record in like 2 hours the other day.
Amazing.
And it's all sounding great.
Well, he's such a fun vibe, Jake.
Oh, man, isn't he?
Yes.
Isn't he?
I love that you work with him. Yeah. I could see you guys. I could see it all, really. I could picture after having just spent the short amount of time that I had with Jake, I'm just like, I love that guy.
Man, he's
like,
great.
He's in his he's right where he needs to be.
Yeah.
In his life right now, doing what he's doing, helping artists that he's helping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the artists that he's working with too, shout out to everybody. We all have that thing, as people would say. Like every one of us has that thing, man. We just have that it factor, that something special, you know? And it's just so dope how Jake and his team can just like know and just like pick that out, because you know, if you look at Ryan, if you look at Drew, if you look at Mama Yaya, if you look at, you know, it's everybody's just in their own bag, man.
Mama Yaya's coming in July. Mama She's Yaya's coming to the studio. Yeah. Oh,
man. Yes. I love her, man. Yeah. I love her. That girl can. She can't sing. She can sang. She can sing. She can sing. That's what I always say about Mama Yaya.
I told her we got a studio house 5 minutes from here. I got a little guest pad for the studio. Yeah. We also record there. I told her we'll put her up here. You come in. We got transportation provided for you. Yep. Yes. You roll out the red carpet for Yaya.
Man, we performed live together one time. We were at Pride Festival. She killed it.
Wow.
She brought me out for one song, man. We tore it up, bro.
That's awesome.
We tore it up, man.
I love it.
Yeah, no, she's doing great things. But yeah, Jake just knows how to pick them out, man. He just Jake knows talent. I mean, think about it. I mean, the guy's grown up in this.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He knows.
Like,
what
he's not gonna steer anybody wrong when it comes to, you know, hey, this guy's got it or this woman's got it. You know, he knows.
And he's had great mentors, as have you.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm excited for what's next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you?
You guys can find me at Apropos Music, APROPOSMUSIC. That's on all social media. And check out my website, veryapropos.com, veryapropos.com. Hey, mama.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love it. It's been such a pleasure having you here in the studio.
Absolutely.
And follow Apropos on all of his handles. That's a wrap.